Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
It's week six. Miami escapes Virginia Tech in a last-second incompletion that looked like a touchdown until the replay. And, like, it took them a good 2 to 3 minutes to, like, parse that out when they were looking back through it. I mean, it could have gone either way. I'm surprised that the Hokies didn't pull it off because, you know, most of the rule books in professional sports are designed to advantage the offense. Mm-hmm. And they made a call that really saved face for the U. But the early games were super competitive, and in the marquee matchup, like, the score didn't show it, but Alabama dominated the first three quarters of that game.
Yeah.
And then Georgia decided to wake up and play some football, but they still ended up losing it, and that's the first time Georgia has lost to a Bama-led team without a coach named Saban. And what's with all the freshman wideouts doing damage all over the country? Like, that's another question that we're going to have to deep dive for a later topic. But holy smokes, guys, like, we've got some guys that are going to be playing on Sunday sooner rather than later, and they are true freshmen. What's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable, or you can just call it Ring Knocker Radio. I'm your host, Rob Fayetteville in North Carolina. We got Dano E. Cabeza calling out of coastal Connecticut, and Trigger Joe from the home of the Big House. You can also call us two O's and an NCO, but how are we doing, guys? What games did we watch this weekend?
I watched a ton of football, man, so much that I had to tap out Sunday. Obviously watched Army smash Temple Thursday night. That was rad. Watched a little bit of that Virginia Tech-Miami game, but not enough to see, like, the drama. I will say, if you can't overturn it in a minute, you can't overturn it. Just stop. Put the clock on, and if it's 60 seconds goes by, then the ruling on the field has to stand. And then Saturday, man, I watched a lot of the American Conference now that I've got, you know, skin in the game there. Saw Navy beat the crap out of UAB. Tulane absolutely smoked USF. Turned that one off early. Jesus, the Bulls. Oh my God. We're trying to have the guy on from the Bulls, and I don't want to say he's lucky he got hit by a hurricane, because obviously that isn't true. You'd rather have your team lose than get your house destroyed by a hurricane. But we were going to absolutely roast that guy if he was on here, which is unfortunate. Watch Georgia Southern at Georgia State. Yeah, that was an entertaining game. I thought UTSA was going to beat ECU, but either they fell apart or the Pirates put it together, because that's definitely not what happened in the second half. Georgia-Alabama, you talked about. Watched Tulsa at North Texas, and man, Tulsa, God, they got destroyed. And finally, I watched enough of Air Force at Wyoming to know that the Zoomies are cooked. Like, they're chicken fried this year.
Yeah, for sure. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, I did watch Army roll Temple Thursday night, and what a great show Miami and Virginia Tech put on Friday night. The ending was electric if you're a Canes fan, and devastating for the Hokies faithful, but what a back-and-forth battle that turned out to be in Dade County. Then once again, the Georgia Bulldogs dropped a game to Alabama, and it wasn't so much the loss, but in the fashion they lost. They must have had flashbacks of freshman Tua coming in the national title and throwing a 50-yard bomb. But takes Alabama one play to go the length of the field. And I'll go on record right now and say that Ryan Williams from Alabama is the best freshman wideout in the country. Might be the next big-time Alabama first-round draft pick. And my Wolverines looked sloppy, but got it done in a rainy game over Minnesota. Wolverines might be ranked a little bit too high. But it wasn't a loss. So, and the Lions play after this show. So, bonus.
Yeah, sounds like a really good weekend. Like, of course, I watched Army finish the trifecta against Owl Mascots. I watched the Buffaloes show up with a running game. Like, who thought Colorado could run the rock? And they actually did pretty well. Hey, man, like, we're going to talk about this a lot deeper, but kind of feel bad for Matt Sluka. Because you hold out for NIL and your team just rolled on without you. Like, UNLV is legit. I think they've got a stranglehold on the Mountain West. It'll be interesting to watch that one, particularly after all the hubbub with that's going on with that. And, of course, I watched the late game, Georgia and Bama. And then, surprisingly, watched USC pull off a win in the Big 18 without scoring 55 points. You know, so that's pretty impressive. Like as much as I hate to admit it, it looks like USC has a little bit of a defense. I don't know if it's great, but it's better than what they had last year, which is a significant improvement. And their offense is not their offense isn't as high powered, but it's consistent. And so they're winning games. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes a little bit later in the stretch. But speaking of the stretch, we're going to jump into our first commercial. And if you're PCSing to the Fort Liberty area, we have the realtor for you, Jocelyn Bradley. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics, and she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn also has an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're moving somewhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. She's decided to support us here at Ask for Football this season, and she is the right person to help you get into the home of your dreams. So if you're looking to connect with Jocelyn, just go to our website at askforfootball.com. Click on her face. It's a little business card on the side tab. It'll take you straight to her website. You can connect with her and get all the information that you need to get to purchase a house. Back to you, Dano, for the Service Academy standings. Thanks.
Well, yeah, so we know Army is now 4-0 after the Temple game. The Owls had their moments, especially in the second half. We'll get into that much more tomorrow on the Army Football Show. Black Knights take on the Golden Hurricanes of Tulsa this Saturday. Kick is at noon on ESPNU, which is weird because that makes it 11 a.m. Tulsa time. But it's all good because that high temperature on that day is supposed to be like 91 degrees with blazing sun. Line opened Army minus 2.5, has since slid all the way to Army minus 10.5. That's a lot of points, friends. Hate to say this, but Navy looks really good. We have Mark scheduled to come on next week. He wanted to wait until after the Air Force game. That's how confident he's feeling to talk about his Navy midshipman. But we are going to have him back next week to gloat a little bit. Blake Horvath, man, 9 of 11 for 225 yards and 2 touchdowns against UAB. Navy's defense looks solid, too, although they did give up almost 5 yards per carry. Saw takes after the game that the Trent Dilfer experiment has failed for the Blazers. They've lost 11 of their last 16. The Mids take on the Zoomies next, and if the Zoomies didn't have a bunch of brand-new starters on defense, I would expect their offense to look mortal this week. But as it is, I think they're going to roast those Falcons. And then finally, Air Force got beat pretty soundly by a bad Wyoming team. Final score 31-19. Zoomies had 320 yards of total offense and 5.4 yards per play, but they went just 4 of 12 on third down, and they failed both of their fourth down conversions. Air Force had no turnovers, but they also just struggled to maintain drives. Quarterback John Boucher went 6 of 13 passing. His team ran for just 205 yards against a struggling defense. Like, Wyoming did not look great by any means, but they ran the ball better than that, and they finished drives with touchdowns with Air Force, which Air Force emphatically did not do. On the non-FBS side, Coast Guard dropped their second game, losing on family weekend to Springfield 35-52. Their next game is against MIT this coming Saturday. Merchant Marine Academy defeated SUNY Maritime 23-20. They're now 3-0. They're taking on Salve Regina this Saturday at noon, honoring first responders and their third annual First Responders Day. Merchant Marine Academy sounds pretty good.
Yeah. That's cool. So moving to around the American, like, of course, we try and find American on American matchups to be the game of the week. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of quality matchups this week. You've got some 1-3 teams playing each other, and it would be nice to see more competitive contests. Unfortunately, you know, there's a big surge in the early part, and there's a lot of, applause and people looking very positively towards the American, and then it just kind of fell off around week 3 with the exceptions of Army and Navy. So the game of the week in the American is going to be Navy at Air Force. Hey, as previously mentioned, the Mids look good. As much as we don't want to admit it as Army football fans, like, the contest in December is shaping up to be a good one. Like, if these guys are both bowl eligible, you know, one of them's undefeated, maybe both of them are undefeated going into that game, that's going to be a much, much higher stakes Army-Navy game than we've seen in a while. You know, usually it's like 6-6 for bowl contention. And if Army and Navy keep it up, we may see them play twice in the span of a 3 or 4 week period just because of bowl games. So that could be bonkers, and hold on for that one. Other games of note, you got a 3-2 Tulane that takes on UAB. Hey, UAB is bad. You know, Trent Dilfer talked about it in the opening of the American Conference when they had the big press conference, and he was talking about how he was recruiting for culture and trying to find the right players and this, that, and the other thing. Bottom line is he's not getting it done. Is he on the bubble? I'm not so sure yet, but
yes. Yes, he is. If you read the UAB media, I assure you that he is.
Yeah. Well, the other piece of it is like, if I could find a quality coach at a much lower price tag, let his contract, you know, do they let him go and run it out, or do they figure out some other way? And of course, you got 1-4 Temple. They have their work cut out for them against the 3-2 UConn. Hey, UConn looks good this year, you know, but I mean, there are moments of brilliance that Temple had, even in the Army game. They looked solid. They were able to move the ball a little bit, but I mean, I think it's more of a credit to Army's defense than it was the Temple offense. And then, of course, as previously mentioned, Army takes on Tulsa this week. We'll break that game down tomorrow on the Army football show. Hopefully you'll be joining us there for that one. But, hey, Black Knights are playing well on both sides of the ball. If you didn't read the article this morning, it dropped. We wrote an article about the defense specifically just to talk about it because, you know, we're getting beat up in the comments that we are not giving the defense their flowers. So here is a bundle of roses for you, gentlemen. And so
true story.
Yeah.
Just so you know, Rob wrote that one. That's a Rob Robinson rare written article from Rob. So.
How many R's were in that sentence? Because that might be a Guinness World
Book. Yes, it's good for alliteration, of course. But as we're moving on to the AP Top 10, Joe, let's break that down and talk about who are in the running seats.
All right, we got a new king. I don't know if I agree, but Alabama jumps up 3 spots to the number one spot, the Tide. After winning in spectacular fashion over Georgia, 41-34, to sit where they're used to sitting, and Bama is the new number one. Texas is at number 2. The Longhorns handled Mississippi State 35-13 as Manning threw for 300-plus, 2 scores, and ran for 1. Texas drops a spot, though, to number 2. That's up for debate. OSU is still hanging in at number 3. The Buckeyes punked the Spartan Slappies 38-7 and remain in the third slot. I kind of enjoyed that win a little bit. I secretly was enjoying watching them slap little brother around. Number 4, we got Tennessee. They jumped up one spot in a fortuitous break as the Volunteers played nobody, but moved up due to a Georgia defeat. At number 5, we have Georgia, who must be feeling the Monday morning hangover after letting that one slip away. They dropped 3 spots after losing to Alabama in Tuscaloosa. At number 6, we got the Ducks of Oregon. They move up 1 after handling UCLA 34-13. The Bruins are suspect at best. At number 7, we got Penn State. Nittany Lions bump up a spot and come away with a quality win over a tough Illinois team, 21-7. Miami stays – actually, they drop a spot to number 8. The Canes came away with a nail-biting victory over – a game opponent, Virginia Tech, 38-34. I think they should just take the bag and get out after that win. I'd be happy to have it over with.
Yeah, sure.
Missouri has no change. The Tigers stay put as they were off Saturday, but they have a real challenge in facing A&M, Texas A&M, on the road next week. And at number 10, we have my Michigan Wolverines. After a sloppy game with some questionable play calling and some questionable calls against Minnesota, they came away with a win 27-24. Michigan travels to Washington next week.
Yeah, that should be an interesting, really interesting contest because, again, Washington does not look good. I mean, it's sad. Like, they didn't even have preseason top 25 positioning, and now it's even worse. But, yeah, and then, of course, you know, as that wasn't mentioned, was Ole Miss falling out of the top 10 after losing to University of Kentucky. And, like, so you had an offense that was, like, setting the house on fire, just got stonewalled. So, like, is University of Kentucky good? We're gonna have to watch that because, like, they stretched Georgia, took them to the limit. They just beat the most prolific SEC offense out there. At some point, we are gonna have to take a look at the University of Kentucky and see what's going on in that defense because they're actually putting games together and winning. Speaking of top 25 losses, additionally, you know, notable losses this week, you got OSU got roasted in the second half by K-State. Like, it was close in the first half, and then K-State took over that game, won it 42-20. As previously mentioned, UK trying to hijack the Spoilermaker moniker and taking out Ole Miss 20-17. Bama beat a slow starting Georgia. And again, like we've seen this from Georgia before, and everybody was talking about that. You know, like every year you see Georgia have a slow start in the first half and they come back and win it. You know, I don't think Kirby has that kind of team anymore. You know,
for sure. You know, I don't think so either.
Yeah. And the other part of it is you can't do that week in and week out and keep confidence with your players. Cause if you're struggling to fight and Carson Beck does not look good as the quarterback there.
He's not as good as some of the other guys that they had. That was my impression. I mean, he was throwing some dimes in the fourth quarter, but yeah, I mean, dude, we waited a long time to start dropping dimes.
Yeah. But it took him a while to warm up. And then of course, as previously mentioned, Illinois losing to the Penn State, Arizona defeated at number 10, Utah. That was an interesting one too. So that's another one. Overrated. Yeah. And then Louisville dropped a close one to Notre Dame, 31-24. Like, I don't know about this, but like total for the year, we are currently at 24 top 25 losses. So we're on pace to have a pretty decent shakeup for the rest of the season. We're at 24, averaging the last couple of years around 50, and we're at week 4 and we're already halfway there. So continuing to watch the top 25, see how things shake up. And speaking of losers, we are going to pass it over to Joe for the Blue Falcon of the Week. And who is in the College Football Hall of Infamy this week?
All right. Okay, when I get to my point, it's going to be no real surprise, but we may have a first on the show. This may be the first Blue Falcon of the Week that I can't name, but you know who you are. The Blue Falcon of the Week, clearly and unequivocally, is whoever was responsible for taking care of Matthew Sluka's NIL money at UNLV. Quarterbacks who have their team in line to possibly sneak into the college football playoffs do not leave the team that they've led to 3-0 for no reason. Through statements from his agent, Sluka said it was made very clear to him once he got on campus that he wouldn't get a dime of that $100K he was promised when he couldn't even get his living expenses paid for. It's not like he got offered to play for Nick Saban or Jim Harbaugh. They had to lure him to UNLV into the fold somehow. I don't know all the details, and this may sound like a rush to judgment, but I believe Matthew Sluka was lied to based on how profoundly devastating it is to a team's season to lose their quarterback when he quits 3 games in. I don't like it, and it's a really deplorable thing to promise someone something that they stake their future on and then back out. So whoever this benefactor in Las Vegas is that had a bad day at the Baccarat table, and you know who you are. You're definitely the Blue Falcon of the Week and possibly the season for the UNLV 1-0.
Nice. Fair point, Joe.
Very good.
Yeah. And that's a great lead into today's topic. So, you know, it's already starting to happen. You know, NIL holdouts in college football. Who would have thought, like, you know, holding out is something that you see in professional sports, right? And it shouldn't be happening in college. You know, you see a guy that's not comfortable with the franchise tag or wants to get out from underneath his team or get traded somewhere else. We understand that in the NFL, but like these kids are like under the age of 25 and they're making grown man decisions with grown man impact, right? So Matthew Sluka, like, that's not a smart business decision, particularly when your team goes to freaking drub the guys that was in your next contest. So now they're like, yeah, we'll get along just fine without you. So now this kid is a red shirt for the rest of this year, trying to, you know, enter the transfer portal and find a new home with somebody that has some cash to pay for him. But the scary part of it is he's not the first person that this has happened to. So, you know, if you haven't heard about the NIL lawsuit dropped in May with Jaden Rashada, who was a football player that got recruited by the University of Florida, and we all know where they're at, right? That's not a good team at all. But this kid was promised like $1 million signing bonus to come play for the Gators, and the money never showed up. So, like, there is now a no-crap civil lawsuit in court for this kid to try and recoup some of the money that he was promised. Same thing with part of the reason why Grayson McCall is at NC State is because the monetary financial collective that was backing Coastal Carolina left. So you got the Teal backers, they left, they closed up shop, and all that money went away. So then you had a whole bunch of people exit from Coastal Carolina. They're doing okay, but they're not great. You know, and I guarantee you they would probably be doing much better if they had a guy like Grayson McCall as a starting quarterback. And, you know, who knows? But it's just interesting to see how this goes. We'll go from Dan to Joe. What are your thoughts on, like, how these situations are playing out? Because, again, we've talked about it. We talked about this a long time ago. Like, if you want to go back 2 years in the archive and listen to the discussion that we had with Matt Wilhelm about NIL several years ago, and this was before it really even took off.
Yeah,
talking about free agency in college football. So the scary part of it is how do we, you know, how do we as fans, do we just deal with it like we do in the pros? Or is there something that, you know, the university should be doing to take care of these players? But I'd like to get your thoughts on that, Dano.
Well, there's no laws right now. I mean, the NC2A spent so long just there's nothing to see here. We don't know what you're looking at. We don't know what you're talking about. That not, you know, just refusing to deal with the issue, that now the issue is here and it's very modern. The NC2A has lost every court case. They don't have a legal leg to stand on, and there's no framework for any of this at all. I'm sure that at some point they'll get this thing worked out, but what a mess. You know, just talking about Sluko a little bit, he started at Holy Cross. So Army fans have seen him. He was at Mikey Stadium last year. He is a good player. Like, he's not a we were talking about this offline. He is not a threat to go to the pros, right? Whatever money he's going to make, he has to make now. Like, 6'2", 6'3", 62% completion percentage passer, good runner. That is not going to get you to the NFL. I'm sorry. I mean, he's a good college player. And I say that with no malice. Like, I was a good college player, but I'm just saying, like, I wasn't going to go to the Olympics. It is what it is, right? So, but during Army's winning streak, so Army's won 8 games in a row, Sluka and Holy Cross finished closer on the scoreboard than any other team in the last year. 17-14 was the score. Nobody has come closer than 3 points over that last 8 games. So Holy Cross is, I know this because a good friend of ours got recruited there. Strong academic institution with deep ties to the Northeastern business community. They don't offer 100K NIL deals, obviously, but they do offer full scholarships, along with potentially very lucrative internships with Manhattan-based banks and a really strong graduate network in the Northeast. And Sluko left that because he was going to get paid now, which is a time value of money consideration that, you know, depending on the amount of money, might have made sense. But if the promise wasn't kept, like, of course his head is going to explode. He just left a pretty good situation. Yeah. So, you know, where does he got $3,000 out of UNLV? I'm telling you, he could have got $3,000 out of Holy Cross. No problem.
Yeah, for sure. That's just an unfortunate turn of events. Joe, what are your thoughts on this?
You know, I kind of just responded to the question. It's like I have a lot of stuff to caveat, but I want to go too far off what my point was pre-conversation. But Josiah Stewart's another one that left Coastal and pretty much won the game for Michigan against Alabama last year, and he's a defensive captain, and he's going to get drafted. Josiah Stewart's a really good edge rusher. So just – to touch on the Grayson McCall point, that's, you know, he left after that as well. Actually, before he did. But look, as far as the NIL, this is to be expected. The conversion to the NIL is in its infancy, and it looks nothing like the way recruiting, which was a multi-million dollar venture slash market. And there's going to be an abuse of power before there's control. The power I'm talking about is the power of persuasion. These boosters and special interest groups have millions and millions of dollars to throw at these kids, and some are more easily persuaded than others. And to touch on that point, some of these kids, you have no idea what $100,000 is doing in his head for his mother, or say he came from, you know, he's got a family member that needs a medical treatment. Like, these kids are like banking everything on that promise. And so my point, or my advice to these kids would be, I think the proper thing for any highly recruited or highly sought after recruit to do, unfortunately, is to hire an agent before ever committing to a university. I know a lot of guys are moving towards that, and I really detest that we have to go here. And it's the reason why Nick Saban retired from coaching college football. But I love this sport so much that I'm willing to roll with the punches. But it's just the way things are going. Then I think these kids need representation before they go into negotiations for millions and millions of dollars, possibly with an establishment like Tennessee or Alabama or Texas. You don't have that kind of firepower up here, kid. There's no way you could. So, you know, have somebody there representing you, you know, make something legal, like a true business deal where there's liability and accountability. You know, that's a lot more transparent than a promise is. So, because, you know, we can't make scumbags not be scumbags, right? Like, you know, there's people out there that aren't going to treat these kids fair, and there's people out there that are going to lead them the right way. And I feel like having representation with you is something that it shouldn't be frowned upon anymore. Like we were at first, like, oh, who's this prima donna? I think he is. Well, according to the market value, which we have assigned to these kids so quickly, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's protecting the one thing that could give him a life that nothing else could. And so, you know, if you got to start at the college level, then start with representation when you go into these recruiting deals.
Yeah. Well,
that's my whole point.
Yeah. So two things. And again, my, you guys know me, you've talked to me for more than 5 minutes. So, you know, I always start with, you know, follow the money. Right. And when you look at the origins of NIL, and people have heard me say this before, when you look at the origins of name, image, and likeness lawsuits started in California and Illinois, right? Both of those places, if you look at their overall federal or state budgets, they're always in the black. They are horrible at managing money. And so what they've done is like, hey, look, let's take advantage of the state school system and throw money at it. And so, of course, if I'm a young player that's not getting paid, I want my name, image, and likeness money. That sounds really, really good. But guess what? Even if Connor Sluka was promised $100,000, he's probably going to walk out with $75,000. Like, why? Because that's going to push him into a different fact bracket. He's got to pay state and federal. So somebody else is going to make money off of that kid making money. That's part of my problem with it. That's the first piece of it. But the other part of it is it's just like, you know, I feel bad for Connor Sluka or Matt Sluka because, like, the team did well without him. So now he's up on the market and like, yeah, he's proven himself to be a decent quarterback, but like, hey, 7 games, 10 games of success is a lot easier to transfer rather than 3. And you're holding out for money that certainly is not going to be there. And the other part of it is like, absolutely, NIL needs structure, because I have a friend of mine that is in the Ohio sports beltway. And we talk quite a bit about, what's going on at Ohio State. Ohio State spent $22 million to keep their players on the team. When you look at the guys that they got, they're only like 3 big players that came into OSU from the transfer portal. You know, you got Caleb Downs, you've got, you know, the quarterback Howard. And then you've got Quinshon Judkins, and that's it. Everybody else stayed. Right. So they're investing into the players that are already there rather than going out to find other people. And so maybe there's something to that. I don't know. I don't know every coach's particular situation. And of course, regionally, much, much harder to recruit, particularly like if you're a player in the state of Ohio or Michigan, like the world's your oyster, because, you know, money is coming your way if you end up on U of M or OSU. So it just depends on where you are regionally. But if I'm a small college guy from like Holy Cross, what kind of market is that? And then, you know, to be promised $100,000, that seems like a lot of money, because it is if you're 19 or 20 years old. But in the grand scheme of earnings, like, you're going to walk away with $75,000 and then you're paying all your expenses. So how much money is this, you know, is he legitimately going to walk away from? And so I think it's a trap, really, to be honest.
Sure.
I think, yeah, maybe I was sort of wondering that too. I was like, you know, trying to figure out what the time value of $100,000 right now is at that age versus finishing at Holy Cross, going into banking like you do. I mean, you can, in fact, put away $100,000 pretty fast if you go to the right place. That's another story.
Yeah. Well,
it's real though. Like, I've had discussions with former Army players who, you know, got frustrated that they didn't get a chance to go pro. And I said, listen, my man, you went to West Point. Like, you're not going to make this money now, but dude, you have every opportunity over the course of your life to recoup the investment.
Yeah. And probably have a lot fewer injuries and a lot less trauma. So, right. But I think it's all about perspective too. And I think it's so in everybody's face right now, because everything's talking about revenue generating sports, right? Revenue generating sports. We talk about it all the time. But if you look at some of the other areas where people have excelled with name, image, and likeness, you know, particularly on the women's sports side, like the women's sports are cleaning up, and you don't hear any of them complaining about anything, because like, if I get a young, fit, athletic person and find the right sponsorship for that person to reach the correct audience, that's money well spent, you know? So it's two sides of a different coin, because I think professionally there's more avenues for the right players or the right types of people to get advertisements, you know, than it is for like us guy from a small school. And that's the most unfortunate part of it is there's no balance because, you know, next year when the regulation comes and they say like, oh, salary cap is 20 million. Right. So if every university has up to 20 million of profit sharing that they can do, like if I'm a small school that has a football program, am I selling up the sharing up to 20 million or am I trying to hold on to it to, you know, refurbish buildings and take care of dorms and do all the other things? That's really, really important. But I think everybody sees the writing on the wall. I think the pendulum is going to swing back and there's going to be a serious, serious regulation to this.
I mean, they got to do something, but first they got to establish what authority that they have, because right now they have no authority. And
yeah.
Like I said, they waited too long and now they've lost every court case.
Yeah. But the other piece of it is like, all you have to do is go back to your 30 for 30 archive and watch Broke. Everybody knows what happens when you dump a whole boatload of cash on a young person, you know, that doesn't have a whole lot of life experience. They're going to make mistakes. You know, Matthew Sluka made a mistake off of money he was promised. Like, hey, I'm going to redshirt for the rest of the season. That sounds like a good idea. But if the team moves on without you, you basically lost your bargaining chip. Like my skill set is my bargaining chip. Oh, they don't need it because they keep winning. Now he's in a position where he's got to figure out, you know, what his next move is. And speaking of your next move, if you're moving to refinance your house,
oh man, that's
Dano's awesome. Got the right guy for you. So if you don't mind, break down this next commercial.
Thanks. Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for New American Funding in Chicago. Man, we are right on point with all this finance talk. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. Friends, he is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Craig offers super competitive grades, going to give you the best deal that he possibly can. And I don't know how many of you guys watching this have bought a house, but yo, the mortgage process is super confusing. Interest rates bounce all over the place. You're trying to find out, you know, should I lock in? Should I not lock in? This is not the time to deal with some clown who just wants to make a buck off you. If you possibly can, you really would like to deal with somebody to whom you are a real person, someone who actually cares about you, not a call center, not some random big box bank or mindless website. And friends, this is how the West Point Network functions. Like, this is the real deal. Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we're helping you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the man that you need to meet, by the only man you can trust in the whole freaking housing industry. Plus, and this is important, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, like $1,300. Get that money. I mean, $1,300. Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending. His link is on our website. You just go to the little business card, click on it, answer a little questionnaire. You'll be talking to Craig in a couple of hours. I'm telling you, he gets 5-star reviews from everybody that's used him. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan. All right, so let's move on to the game of the week. We got football on Thursday again, which is awesome. So you got Texas State at Troy. Texas State and Troy kicks at 7 o'clock on ESPNU. You got Sam Houston at UTEP. That's 9 o'clock on the CBS Sports Network. On Friday, Michigan State is playing Oregon. So you got a Big Ten matchup on Fox. That should be an interesting contest. And speaking of UNLV, you've got Syracuse and UNLV. That's 2100 or 9 o'clock for those of you that don't habla military time on FS1. Moving into Saturday, early matchups, you got SMU at number 15, Louisville. That kicks at noon on ESPN. You got UCLA at Penn State. That is now a Big Ten matchup, which is still a head-scratcher. I don't understand. Noon on Fox. You've got Army at Tulsa. That, again, as previously mentioned, is going to be on ESPNU. You've got number 11 Missouri against number 24 Texas A&M. That's going to be noon on ABC. You got Navy at Air Force on CBS and Paramount Plus. Go figure. Like,
Can I just stop you right there and point out that that is at 10 a.m. Mountain Time?
Yeah.
So they can go head-to-head with Army, which is – or maybe Army's going head-to-head with them, but that's weird.
I think that's an odd time choice because Service Academy fans – well, you know, most of us will have two TVs on anyway, so we'll watch both games. No problem. But
can you imagine you'd have to start drinking at like 6 a.m.?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's doable. Time went on. It's doable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. All right, moving down, you got Tennessee and Arkansas. That should be an interesting contest. Arkansas is sneakily good. You know, again, they're going to put together 7 or 8 wins early in the season, and then they'll drop off like they always do, unfortunately. And we're going to see if Tennessee can keep it rolling. You've got number 17, Clemson. They're on the revenge tour. They're taking out Florida State on Saturday night. I think that one's going to be a beating. You've got Iowa at Ohio State at 3:30 on CBS and Paramount Plus. You know, normally you would say Iowa versus Ohio State is a trap game, but that's only when they're playing at their place, man. Because right. Like,
you literally quoted me. You didn't even know it, but yeah.
Yeah. I honestly think it's that halftime. It's the halftime wave to the children's hospital, like gets everybody all up in their fields and they forget that they're playing football. I was used to it because it's on their home turf. You've got Ole Miss taking on South Carolina. That would have been an interesting contest if Ole Miss would have kept their offense together. You got Auburn at number two, Georgia, and that's formerly number two, Georgia. That should be an interesting contest because Auburn is streaky at best all throughout the season. Going into taking on a wounded Georgia between the hedges, that should be an interesting contest. You got West Virginia versus Oklahoma State to see if Oklahoma State can bounce back. West Virginia is still trying to keep their coach in a job. You've got number one, Alabama versus Vandy. Not going to call it a trap game, but it could be closer than the experts think if Alabama starts looking towards their next game. You've got Utah State and Boise State kicking at 7 p.m. on FS2. You got Baylor at Iowa State. You know, like, it was funny because it came up in the chat in the Firsty Club, and not to talk too much about a former Army player, but like Isaiah Alston has not been used in a year. Like, I haven't seen him touch the field, and that's a damn shame of like, hey, going to where you think the grass is greener and not being utilized. So you're going to have to weigh your options before you make that move. Number 12, Michigan, or number 10, Michigan takes on Washington at 7:30. That'll be on NBC and Peacock. Again, all these weird streaming combinations, your regional sports networks are getting hosed out of big time money. Number 13, USC at Minnesota. Like, I would be surprised. Minnesota has a tough defense. I mean, they kept it close against Michigan. It'll be interesting to see if
I thought they were going to win that game. I was ready to roast Trigger Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, my
21-3, and then one call later that was kind of a iffy hands to the face call. 30 seconds later, it's a 3-point game. I'm like, what just happened here?
Yeah. Hey, put your tinfoil hats on. I think the vice presidential pick was or vice presidential candidate showed up at the game trying to lean towards Minnesota, and the refs didn't like it.
he wasn't received real well in the Big House. I'll just say that.
Yeah. Like that's my conspiracy for that game. Miami takes on Cal. We'll see if Cam Ward can continue the streak, man. That guy's good for at least two touchdowns a game passing, maybe one rushing. He's a solid quarterback. I think his performance last week hurts his Heisman status. And I think this will be a good topic to talk about a little bit later in the season, because I know it came up during the Colorado game, but think about this. And those are in the Firsty Club or in the chat. Think about how many losses are acceptable before a guy is not eligible for the Heisman, because Jalen Daniels had three losses last year. And, you know, it's a better than even chance that Travis Hunter is going to have, you know, 1, 2, 3 losses on his record before he goes into Manhattan. Does he just get like a defensive player of the year award, or do they seriously consider him for the Heisman? Because like, the dude's a special player, and it would be a shame for him not to get recognized.
I would just like to point out that Jaden Daniels is legit as the quarterback of the Washington Commanders. Uh-huh. And I don't even like the Commanders, but he is doing the thing.
Yeah. He is every bit, you know, as advertised. I think it's just like, hey, supporting cast matters as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Again, Heisman Trophy is like somewhere in there, it became like the offensive award, like the super offensive player of the year. But the reality of it is it's just like, come on, man. Like, really what we want is we want it to be the best player in college football. Like, and he makes a difference for his team. Like, his team would not be winning if that player wasn't on the field.
Hey, there's a dark horse for the Heisman, and I'm just going to throw his name out there if he keeps doing this. Have either of you heard of Ashton Jonte or Jonte? I don't know if he's pronounces it a certain way, but Boise State running back who has 82 carries for 845 yards, 13 touchdowns. He's averaging 10 yards a carry.
Jeez.
He keeps doing this. There will be no question who the Heisman Trophy winner will be, because he's going to break every rushing record in a single season.
That's incredible.
1,000.
Yeah, that's crazy. Four games,
that is incredible.
1,000-yard rushing. Like, that's super impressive. And speaking of super impressive, we got to move on to our weekly locks.
Weekly locks.
All right, what are you guys picking this week?
I went 3-0 last week. Navy obviously crushed UAB. UConn beat the crap out of Buffalo at home, and Texas State at Houston State went, or Sam Houston State, excuse me, went way over 56. All those hit with ease. I am a king. So that takes me back to 500, which if you started with us earlier in the season, you know, is a miracle. So this week I'm taking Navy at Air Force over 34.5. Navy's good. Air Force is terrible. Market hasn't figured this out. But Navy Air Force isn't always the super low scoring affair that Army Navy almost always is. Yeah. Plus I just like, I don't know, man. 34.5 is not a lot of points. I mean, I think Navy might put up 34.5 points by themselves. They really probably ought to. I'll also take Mizzou plus 1.5 at Texas A&M. A little nervous about that, but Mizzou has, they're sharing the longest winning streak in the nation with the Black Knights, currently 8 games. I think they win outright. I think those streaks matter. I really do. When you're winning, you win. And you know, I wish I'd seen this early when it was Mizzou plus 4, but I still think, like, I really strongly believe that Missouri is going to take care of business. And then finally, Temple at UConn minus 14.5. We just saw Temple's rushing defense. They are not good. Meanwhile, UConn is that team that's way, way better than you think they are. They had a disaster week one, but they've actually played really solid football ever since.
Nice. Fair point. Joe, how about you?
All right. Well, it's a good thing my picks didn't make the show last week, because I went 1-2 and then one of the games got canceled. Crying out loud. I had Liberty, which I think you're going the other way this week for after cover. But yeah, thanks for coming through, BYU. I did call that upset. I've loaded up 5 for this week, so I'll just go through them because I took a little extra time. Pick one is TCU minus 17 at home against Houston. I think this is the wrong time for a very bad Houston team to visit the Horned Frogs after they went on the road and impressive fashion, beating Kansas by 2 scores. I think TCU covers and probably wins by 3 touchdowns. Pick 2, Michigan plus 3. And I see that this move pre-show to 2.5, but they're getting a field goal at Washington. This may not be the same Michigan team, but it's definitely not the same Washington team. And after getting beat by Rutgers and Washington State, I think this line is a little silly. It should be a pick 'em. Because Michigan has to travel, but I think Michigan holds them in check offensively and does enough on the ground to get out of there with either a W or at least a push. But I just don't see them losing. But pick 3 is Ohio State at home minus 20.5 against Iowa. This Ohio State team has rolled everybody, and Iowa's only tough when you have to go to Iowa. I don't think this game is close, and I would take Ohio State minus 24 and feel pretty comfortable there. Pick number 4 is South Carolina plus 9 at home against Ole Miss. South Carolina has a 10-point swing and lose to LSU by 4 in a game that they should have won. And please let me run to the window on this one and get this one in, because it just doesn't make sense. Ole Miss gets beat at home by Kentucky. South Carolina throttles Kentucky in Kentucky, and they're getting 9 points at home against Ole Miss. I'm going to stop talking past the cell before they change their mind and say thank you. And pick number 5 is Iowa State minus 14 against Baylor after blowout wins against Houston and Arkansas State. And then going on the road to beat Iowa in a rivalry game, the Cyclones have me believing they're a pretty solid team, and Baylor just doesn't play defense. I think the Cyclones control this game on the ground and cover the 14.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's a good call. Yeah, Iowa State's rolling. They look good, and Baylor's defense is super sketchy. I mean, like, they had a chance to put the game away against Colorado and lost it on Hail Mary because it went to overtime. Like, it's absurd. Like, it's one play, bat the ball down, it's over. You know, and they couldn't get that done. So I'm 6-5. I went 1-1, and my third game was canceled due to a hurricane. I'm gonna pause here really quickly. Like, hey, if you've got the ability to reach out to anybody that is in Western Carolina or in the Midwest that has been affected by the hurricane, please, please, please check on them, because it is bad. Like, we've watched entire national parks get basically wiped off the map. There's a lot of flooding, a lot of washouts, and there's people as far south as Georgia that don't have electricity. So
I saw them in Charlotte, and they were out for 8 hours straight, which, I mean, obviously is nowhere near what the direct impact some of those storms are doing. I mean, nothing was damaged. They just lost power, but that's all the way in Charlotte.
Yeah. So it's pretty extensive damage. So, like, keep those folks in mind. And if you can do something, do something. 'Cause I know there's a lot of groups that are collecting, stuff for the airlift. They're legitimately airlifting supplies into Asheville, North Carolina. So that said, the reason why I brought that up is because my App State Liberty game got canceled due to the flooding out there. Legitimately, it's a bad situation out there. You know, took the Huskers to hit the over of 50.5. They could not do it. Freaking the Boilermakers didn't bring anything to the table, so it just fell short. I think it was like 48.5 points or something like that. And then again, I had Illinois to cover against Penn State. I think, you know, the Nittany Lions are underperforming on offense. I think they had enough defense to close out the game, and I think that's truly what happened. And unfortunately for the Fighting Illini, their O had to go. This week, I'm taking take the under 62.5 of between Pitt and UNC. Like, North Carolina's bad, man. Tar Heel fans are putting away the Carolina blue and refusing to wear it. I know a whole charade of characters that are like, I'm putting this up. Wow. I'm not wearing it until next year.
Wow.
Even more insulting, they lost to Duke, and it wasn't in a basketball game. So, like, the UN fans are, the UNC fans are about to start picketing. It's bad. I think between these two teams, they might score 45 points. If they score more than that, I would be surprised. So take the under on that game. Take Wake Forest to cover 6.5 against North Carolina State. Both teams can produce offensively, but I think you know, they're giving North Carolina State way too much. I mean, they play to their competition. I got it. Wake Forest isn't the Wake Forest of a handful of years ago, but North Carolina State tends to play down, so they're not going to have as much scoring. So I think it'll be a much, much closer game. I think it'll be a field goal will be the difference in that one. And then, you know, UGA and Auburn, I'm going to say it's going to hit over 46.5. I think, you know, Georgia can put up points. Like, they can put up 40 points very, very easily. Auburn is playing decent ball right now. They can put in a 20-30. They're probably going to score about 55-60 points in this game. So I would take that one to hit the over for sure. It's going to be a shootout between the hedges. I think Georgia is going to be a little bit delirious, and they're going to have to put some offense up, because Auburn's going to jump on them early, and then they're going to have to try and figure out, you know, what they're going to do in the second half. You know, credit to Georgia, they make a lot of tremendous second half adjustments, so that's not going to be the problem, but it's whether or not they're going to, you know, make enough changes to win.
Am I the only one that noticed they started throwing to their tight ends late in that game? Like, I realized.
Yeah. Anyway, I think since Brock Bowers left, they just completely, like, neglected that position. It's like, yeah, you got other dudes there, man, just because one guy went to the pros.
Yeah. He was legit, but yeah.
Anyway, he's a legit pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Real good. Yeah, he's doing solid. Anyway, it's the end of the show, guys. We appreciate you guys coming on and joining us here for the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable, or if you want to call it Ring Knocker Radio, or two O's and an NCO, whatever you choose. We're just happy that you're here to join us. So for the crew here, I am Rob, the Angry Colonel, your host in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Ikebesa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut, and Trigger Joe from the home of the Big House. Hey, keep watching college football. Make sure you check us out. This video will be posted with the Veteran Trash Talk Network, and the full version of the audio will be coming out again this week. If you are in the Firsty Club, we will see you tomorrow night for the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
And 6 p.m. Don't forget.
And as always, beat Navy and Tulsa too.
Beat them.
Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extra. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.